Yes.
Here we go. Yeah. We're back.
I'm not clapping, Judith. I know there's a lot to clap, cheer about. Yes, I'm clapping, cheer. Hooray, hooray. But anyway, before we get on to you, I'm quite ill. I'm just going to give you.
Goodness sake.
I've got the cold. It's not even fucking COVID. Oh. I've just done a test. And I've never had COVID, and I haven't had a cold for 2 years. I'm in the middle of this filming thing up in Manchester. And of course, you know, I have 2 day break. I come to June's. Oh. I wear my mask in all crowded places, in shops and on transport. And I just, I came back from June's yesterday, very tricky visit. And I just collapsed. Even my brother, who was staying here last night, because he's doing some terrible court case in Stoke-on-Trent.
He's got a proper job, hasn't he?
He's got a proper job. And anyway, when he came in last night, I said, I need 5 minutes to tell you how terrible I feel. And he put it on a timer. He actually put it on a timer. And he got bored after 3.5 minutes. Yes, yes.
I was telling your brother.
Yeah, well, have you met Ben?
I think briefly in some sort of green room, but not properly, really.
He's not once met. He's not really easily forgotten because he takes up a fuck of a lot of space.
Is he? Is he big? Tall?
Ben is 6 foot four. Yeah, he's 18 stone, 6 foot four. Yeah, he's huge. There's a streak of giantism in the...
Well, you didn't get that one, did you?
So didn't. I got the streak of short dumpiness. Now, listen, so I'll talk about my how terrible I'm feeling later, but I just wanted to put that out at the beginning so people think, oh, God, she sounds a bit... Bleh.
Yeah, you don't sound great. You don't... Well, no, come on, we've got to buck you up.
I can't be bucked up. No, the thing is, Judith, I'm so upset. I'm so upset.
Oh, why?
Because... When I'm doing a telly job, all I want to do is my best, and I'm feeling terrible, and I can't take a day off. I can't, you know.
No, you can't.
And I've just got to get on with it.
You will rally, okay?
I know. As long as it doesn't go to my chest, because if it goes to my chest, I'm fucked.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's go there if we have to.
We won't go there.
Let's not go there for now, and I'm sure it won't do. Are you taking some vitamin C? No, I haven't finished with you yet. Are you taking some vitamin C's?
I've got so many drugs. I've got so much druggage going on. Honestly, I don't know why I'm not in some kind of film, smuggling drugs over a border. You know, I shouldn't put them up my arse, really. There's no real need to do that.
Oh, are they going up your arse as well?
No, I haven't got any of those.
You haven't still got any constipation, have you?
No, I'm not going there. But I'm bored now of me. I've just got that out so that people... Because I do sound a bit...
Well, I'm not. Anyway, before we finish on you, can you have the... Are you recording today or can you have some time off today?
No, I'm in June's now. I'm going to go in a taxi to see her, but I'm not going to go in the home because it's not fair on the staff. And I'm just going to window wave her and maybe chat through the door. And then I come back here and then a car picks me up to take me back to Manchester and I spend the afternoon in bed.
Good.
So that's
you know, that's a good thing. That is a good thing, I see.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Get under that duvet. So get under the duvet.
I will. I'll get under that duvet and... And I'll sniggle on down.
Yeah. But have you got something nice and soothing to watch on?
I'm so bored of me now, Judith. I want to get back to the twins.
I think people might be getting a little bit bored of the twins.
No, can't get bored of the twins yet. They're not even a week old.
They're not, are they? No,
they're 6 days old because we're recording this. It's been happening, Judith. Your voice note that was attached to our mini podcast last night made me weep.
Oh, that seems such a long time ago. Yes, absolutely. The one that we did for the gang that went out instead of the podcast.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm not really with it. The dog's just jumped all over me. Little fuck off, Poppy.
What it's like now. A month ago, Judith, the idea of you saying fuck off to Poppy. Oh, poor, you see, this is what I wanted to know. Has Poppy had her nose put out of joint slightly by the arrival?
Massively.
Two teeny weeny babies.
She hasn't met them yet. She hasn't met them yet. Sienna, I said the other day, should I bring Poppy over? No, I'm not ready for Poppy. Poor Poppy's been in the kitchen a lot with a lot of bones.
I don't blame Sienna. She doesn't need that mutt. I'm sorry.
Really
I know
doesn't.
That Poppy's going to need a lot of love, and there'll be a few. women doggy listening, lovers, doggy shocked, lovers, they? They'll know, be furious. I know. And they'll be doing petitions and they'll want to take Poppy off you. Because Poppy might not be getting enough love anymore.
Well, she's not really. But then again, I think she could, because they do spend a bit of time in their Moses basket together, snuggled up. Yeah. And I reckon she could play havoc with that, because all she'd need to do is jump up and the twins would fall out. Sorry.
It's not very that funny, would... Judith. I don't, you know, I think you might have the dog taken off you and the twins. Do they sleep face to face?
Yes, they do sometimes. I mean, yesterday they were snuggled up, all kind of swathed. Is that the word? Swaddled.
Swaddled, yeah.
They're swaddled. And so they're little, and one of them, I can't really tell the difference yet, one of the noses was on the other, you know, and I thought, oh, bloody hell, I hope that one can breathe. So I'm sort of yanking them up and down. But yes, they do. They don't do spooning. They do they turn, well, because they're on the backs, aren't they? That's right. They're on the backs, like what you have to do now. And they do. They're right. Yeah, they do. They snuggle up. They snuggle up. It's very photogenic. Very little.
Tiny little mitlets. I had a friend who had identical twins, and she had to put nail varnish on one of them so that she could genuinely tell the difference. Because they were so, it was a split egg, you know, one of those. So, yeah, one of them just was nail varnished. It's better than branding, I think.
It's a brilliant idea. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. No, I can't really tell them.
So you can tell the difference. Because, listen, I can tell the difference. When that first photo came through, Judith, yeah. I have got instinct. When I saw that photo, I thought, well, how beautiful they are, but how very different.
Yes, you said that, didn't you? I'm not sure that I've got that yet. I think, get you. All right. Okay. Yes, I think maybe Stanley's got a slightly squashier face and he's got the kind of blonder hair. But, you know, the hair's rubbing off now because it goes.
Oh, right.
Do you remember that bit?
Yeah, and also babies change every day, don't they?
Well, I suppose they do, but I mean, they're so little. I mean, honestly, Jenny, it's terrifying. They've got littler as well because, you know, babies lose weight, don't they, when they come home?
Yes.
Tiny little bits of milk they're having, like 20 mil, 30 mil.
Are they on a bottle?
Yeah, so she's spending a lot of time expressing milk, which is quite a sort of image, really.
Poor
with two
woman,
things.
It's really, really difficult.
But you know the worst thing about it? It's kind of embarrassing, isn't it, generally? Because she's got this hospital-grade machine, which I had to hire.
It's like a milking parlour, really, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's like, so she has to sit there, and it takes about sort of 30 minutes to expect teeny bits of milk come out. It's coming out a bit better now. But the awful thing is that, obviously, in the hospital, they gave her this, like, not a Kirby grip, that's the wrong thing, a tubey, you know, like if you've sprained your ankle and they give you that horrible kind of flesh-coloured stretchy
Yeah, tubey
stuff.
Grip. Yeah, tubey sort grip. Of, they're yeah, okay. called tubey grips, I think.
Right. Okay, so it goes over her boobs. It's obviously torso size.
No.
But then they've obviously cut out and it's starting to fray two holes for the nipples, right? So the suction things can go on. I don't know what it's supposed to do. But it's kind of, it's like, I don't know why, there's a sort of touch of the Hannibal Lecter about it.
Of course there is. That is so undignified, isn't it? I mean, what women go through is extraordinary.
It is.
I mean, you know, to be trussed up and have sort of holes cut for your nipples to poke through so some milk can be squashed out.
Yeah, I know, it is. It's
I mean, very, how brave she's being and how, I mean, she looked, she put that message up on the Instagram yesterday and she looked incredible. She looked absolutely radiant. I mean, she's
strike.
Oh God, yes. And I just thought she just exuded such happiness. And she seems really confident. I mean, they didn't let me out of hospital for a week and I only had one. They knew that I wasn't going to be very good at it.
Yeah. So she is confident. And tell you what it is, it's like I've got a job. I've got a new job, Jenny, basically. I've got my pinny. I've got a new pinny, which is hanging on the back of the kitchen door. So I've kind of moved in, really.
Because you're there now, aren't you?
I'm here now because they're back in hospital. But so just slightly back to Sienna. She is incredible. She is sort of directing operations. So I come in, it's the same for my, right, mum, right, first job, da, 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 da. So can you do this? Da, 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 da. Right, okay, what next? Blah, blah, blah. She just kind of, she's amazing. She's just on it. She writes down the feet, how much they have, you know, which one has what, what their nappies are, they got any poo, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of a military operation, it really is. And Dad and Mike sent off to do all the errands. He's got off to the post office now because obviously all the stuff keeps, you know, arriving, and all the hall full of fucking, you know, parcel delivery. You were out all over the bloody place.
Yeah, because you were out because they were out in having babies. Now you say back in hospital, but nothing to be too concerned about.
I don't think so. I mean, it's been kind of on off with Stanley's jaundice level or something. Which is not unusual, is it?
No, very, very common.
Yeah. So for them, it's a great big deal because they all have to go in. And luckily, they're now in a family room in the JR, so James can stay. Thank goodness. But there's a great long list of stuff that they need brought in today, which is my job. So, yeah, he's under a sun lamp. She's sent me a picture of him. It looks like he's on a sun lounger in Ibiza.
Yeah, little chunks, little water wings. come out with a bit of a tan.
Bit of a novel going on. Some headphones. So hopefully they'll be back. If not tonight, then tomorrow. But it's all a bit stop-start, really.
Do they cry?
Well, they don't. They do cry a little bit. They kind of whimper. I meant to kind of record it. Like more of a sort of... Are you getting bored yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. they're more kind of little whimpery, but she's not doing feeding on demand, which I stupidly did with Sienna. Which meant I was never off the breast. She was never off the breast. So it's literally a 7:30 feed, a 10:30, or whatever it is, 1:30. So she wakes them up. You wake them up and you have everything ready.
You don't give them any choice. Yeah, just, you know, you're up now. You're having something to drink. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you settle them down, change the nappy, maybe. Oh, burp them. There's a lot of time burping. If you remember all that stuff. And then you swaddle them and you put them down. So, I mean, they're a lot of trouble in a way, but, you know, you don't have to sit on the floor and play trains with them or any of that. Do you know what I mean? They're swaddled.
You're setting a very high bar, Judith. I'm a bit worried, you know, because, I'm watching the Instagram and you are there quite a lot and you are helping hugely, and I'm thinking, oh shit, you know, I hope Phoebe isn't expecting this because there's not going to be that level of commitment, I don't think.
There will be, and there'll have to be, because what will happen, I can tell you now, I'm guessing, is, you know, it's all very well saying, isn't it, because we said we'd do 2 days a week, you said, I think, why don't we do one, but it won't be like that in the first bit. It wouldn't be like that because it will be, oh mum, we've run out of, like 2 days ago, we haven't got any vests, they're between premature and teeny baby or something.
I've got you.
Mike had to go out and he had to go to Tesco's, then John Lear's, then bring it back, then they run out of cotton wool pads, then, you know, then this machine had to be got. I mean, it's kind of, you know, I think we'll find it's a little bit more than one day a week at the beginning, Jenny.
I think I might go on tour. I think I might phone Avalon.
When's she due?
She's middle of July.
Oh, gosh. And what's happening in your diary then?
Well, nothing so far. I've kept it quite empty. I've got a big job after this one that I'm not allowed to tell anyone what it is.
Have you?
But it's not strictly, don't worry. No, I can't. They can't even tell you.
Oh, stop it. Oh, I'm really going off you now.
Of course I'll tell you. But don't tell anyone. I'm keeping myself free from sort of June.
Right, so you are going to be around. Well, you know, you're going to be busy with that. You're going to be busy with that. And are you on tour in the autumn? I've forgotten.
I don't know. There's been no decision. I don't think so now because I think that decision would have had to be made. So I'm going to have to do something else to get out of my grandmotherly duties. I might just write another book or something and just, I don't know. I don't know, Judith, but it's terrifying me now. It really is because I really want it and all that kind of thing. Yeah. Quite stressful. Are you scared of them?
A little bit. It's the kind of catastrophizing thing that we've talked about before. It's like, oh my God, I might slip over there. What if I slip there and you know, he dropped on the marble?
Yes.
It's not going to happen. I'll be all right. It's not going to happen. But what if? Yeah, there's a lot of that. I am a bit scared, but I did feel like you, that I think I had several months when the twins were, you know, on their way, when I was feeling, shit, what about my life? You know, I've got, I like going out on my bike, I like doing that. How am I going to fit all that in? Oh, shit. But we sort of, we're in kind of a bit of a routine and I like it more than I thought I'd like it. I'm enjoying being kind of around Sienna ever so much and seeing, you know, I mean, the babies are lovely. I mean, they are nice, but I'm honest.
Conversationally, they're quite dull.
Yes, conversation non-starter. And I'm quite happy when they are swaddled up and out of the way. And
yeah,
I'm...
so is Sienna, she's not bad-tempered at all with you? She's not getting cross with you?
Not yet. Not that, no, that's,
oh,
that's
you've
the
done
point.
Well.
That's
yeah.
the point. It's a quite like, there's usually about half an hour between the feeds where she starts to open up. Do you know what I mean? She obviously has thought, you know, this woman's quite useful. I think I might have to. And she sort of, you know, she started kind of telling me a few things, been very good about not saying, well, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that? Yeah. And what are your thoughts about that? And, oh, you know, I've been meaning to say that. I've been quite good, actually.
And, do they sleep in her bedroom with her and James?
Yes. Okay, they have to do that for the first 6 months,
okay,
I think. So,
right,
yeah, they're over
okay.
his side. And they've got a kind of, you know, they've got quite a, I said we there, didn't I? They've got quite a good routine going on with James going off, you know, back to bed at a certain time. Blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, they're back in hospital. So that's all a bit up the spout. But they'll get back. They'll get back. Yeah. But I think that you will find that you will want to be around Phoebe. You know,
I might feel like that. It's whether Phoebe wants me around. You know, I'm very annoying,
well,
Judith.
I don't think you're any more annoying than me.
Well, at least you're practical and you can cook things.
Oh, yes, there is.
I'll just be saying things like, oh, should we just watch Inventing Anna on Netflix? Do you think the baby would like that? Because I quite like that. Anyway, what about our listeners and the names? Because we had a competition going.
I didn't do particularly well.
I did Max and Sam. No. But I think Sam is a bit like Stan. But I'm not asking for a badge because I've got one. Do you know
good,
what I mean?
Good.
Anyway,
no, I think you've got no point.
I hear my
there.
Sister emailed you and told you that I had an Uncle Stan.
She
we
did.
Have an
it
Uncle
was
Stan.
Yes. And apparently he was quite a personality. So go on, what was he like?
Yeah. Oh, God. Stanley Hargreaves. He was hilarious. He lost his legs to smoking, obviously.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah. Emphysema. And then, you know, when you go into hospital and you get that flesh-eating disease. Anyway, he lost his legs.
Oh,
he ended
shit,
up in a
he?
Merchant seaman's home. But I can't ever remember him being in the merchant seaman's. I think he used to work for a car company. Oh, he was larger than life, Stanley. And he was very northern. You know, because my father went into the army and became very posh. He sort of, you know, came up the ranks and sort of his accent, he just became just not northern. And he was a spy as well, so, you know, had to be able to switch things. But Stanley, he stayed very northern and they lived in Oxford for a bit, actually. And then they moved back to Lytham and he wanted to be near Derek, very sweet. And when his first wife died, he didn't want to live in the bungalow anymore. So he went sort of cruising around Lytham to see what properties were up for sale. And he saw this nice little cottage on the main drag and it had a for sale board up. So he went knocking on the door. And a very pretty woman in her 60s answered the door.
I know where this might be going.
Well, only Stanley. He said, I'll have the house and I'll take you with it. And they were very happy for many years.
Really?
Yes.
I like Stanley. An opportunist.
Yeah, absolutely. He used to smoke on the toilet, which used to drive my mum mad. He used to come to stay. And she said, how can he? He sits on that lavatory having a poo and a cigarette. Anyway, there we go.
I think it was a bit of a thing, wasn't it? But, yes.
Yeah, there's nothing else to do. Men used to go into the lavatory with a paper and their cigarettes and they wouldn't come out for hours.
They did. Yeah. I know. Women never have done. I've never known a woman.
We've never had time.
Ever.
That's why we have so many bowel problems and everything, because we've never had time for a proper poo. Anyway, there we go. Were there winners?
There were winners. Yeah, I have to say there weren't many people that guessed Stanley or Edward. It's quite a short list.
I don't think there were many Edwards, were there? I think there were a few Stanleys.
No. So we had some unusual ones. Somebody called Helen guessed River and Beau, but she didn't really explain why. Didn't understand that. And Julie Hancock guessed River and Palm. Again,
no, I don't get Palm.
Why.
I'm really sorry. I don't get Palm. As in tree. Palm as in tree.
Well, yeah.
Not working for me. Well, no. Phoebe calls her child Palm. I'm not having anything to do with it. I like Marmaduke. Whatever it is, it's going to be called Marmaduke. How did you feel Ellen was as an auntie? Well, how did she feel?
She was thrilled. I mean, she was we weren't here when the twins came home because we were at a sodding posh dinner at the college. I mean, the timing could not
Why
have been
Why didn't you just
worse.
Cancel? Why didn't you just
well,
cancel?
Oh, God.
I'd have just said, sorry, COVID. Sorry, soz.
Sauce. Well, the thing is, we didn't have anybody's mobile, and I kind of had imagined that there'd be two seats at the sort of one of the top tables, which indeed there would have been, you know, at the last minute. Yeah. And it was kind of, are they coming out? Are they not coming out? You know, we'd all done a big sort of M&S shop, and then we got the call saying, no, we can't because da da da. So we went ahead and did it. So actually, Ellen and Aaron were here when they came home, put the heating on and all that stuff, which was lovely. And I think, you know, Ellen has really bonded with them, and yeah, it's really sweet. So, but oh God, that dinner dragged on, I tell you, because I thought, well, we can't go until the end of the speeches. You know what it's
fucking
like,
speeches. Oh, why do people do speeches?
Oh, it's like a sermon, isn't it, in the church when you're thinking. Because you never know how these, how long, it's not timed, is it? You've got
well,
no
what
idea.
What was it for? What was this dinner for?
Oh, it was posh dinner. You know, I did that funny thing at Oxford University.
So
it was the foundation dinner. It's quite a big deal, really, to be invited. And we were indeed.
Was
the
food
table.
Any good?
Food was quite good, but you know what it's like, it's a posh dinner. Well, I don't know whether you do, because you're not as greedy
as
me.
Do that.
I
don't get invited, to be quite honest.
Oh, I bet you do. Don't be
I
absurd.
Don't really. I don't. I don't really get invited to things like that.
Because
nobody can trust me to behave myself. Was it chicken? It's often chicken.
No, it was lamb. It was lamb, actually. But I tell you what, we're inevitably at those college dues, we're getting off the subject here. Sorry, we'll come back to the competition winners in a minute. Inevitably at those dinners, you always kind of end up having these amazing conversations with sort of academics. I mean, you know what academia is like. So, for instance, I sat next to this bloke. I won't tell you how he made all his money, but he obviously made a lot of money and has spent all his
time. As long as he's not a Russian fucking oligarch.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, bloody hell. No. So then he's you know, he spent his time being a sort of academic, which is what people do. They make a lot of money and they do that. And he's just done a PhD. I didn't quite know what to say to this. I said, oh, you know, what was your PhD? What's your field of interest? That's the way people say it. And he said, well, I've just done a PhD on looking at why the Easter is the date it is in the calendar year. I didn't quite know what to say to that. Because he said, because it's interdisciplinary. I thought you just spent
dear.
2 or 3 years doing that.
Oh,
anyway,
God.
So it's been there's
some navel gazing there going
there
on.
There is some navel
there.
Gazing, yeah. On the other hand, there's also a lot of virologists, if that's what they're
Oh, that's called. that would have been useful.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of them there. Anyway, we get off the
As
subject.
A hypochondriac, Judith, did you get
Indeed.
Any
Indeed.
Any insight into any...
Oh, I did, except I wish I hadn't asked.
Right.
God, the world's in a shitty place, isn't it?
Oh, it's so difficult. It's so difficult to sort of... And I think that's why, you know, the podcast, that our listeners do appreciate some lovely, happy news, because everywhere you turn elsewhere at the moment is grim. It is just grim. I can't do very much news. And
no.
And then, you know, my neighbours there, I've got two neighbours who are in war zones at the moment. One doesn't know that he's my neighbour. I just know that he is. And the other one is Jeremy Bowen lives around the corner from me.
Yes, he does, doesn't he?
Yes, yes. And he's there in a flak jacket in
is he really?
In the Ukraine. Yeah. Mm, I mean, it's terrifying.
Yeah, I know. And Olga Watford, Ola Gehring, gets absolutely... She's astonishing, isn't she? She just is always there. And
we'd be so crap. And I think that at a time when, you know, that it's been such lovely news for you this week, and you know, but you just know that there are Ukraine women giving birth in bunkers with no medical help whatsoever.
Oh, my God.
And it's so petrifying, and it's so... Someone's just got to kill that cunt, haven't they?
Yeah, they probably have. They probably have, actually. Yeah.
I don't know who it's going to be, but,
well,
you know,
it's so unlikely to be you and I. I don't think we could worry
I don't
about
know, Judith.
That,
I don't know. I think you and I, given the opportunity, would do
well,
it.
Well, and a tabard or two. A tabard.
I think that's all we need. Some cleaning women tabards. We're just going to clean the Kremlin.
Yes.
And we've got some blow darts in our tabard pockets. And I'll get him from the front. You get him from the back. Or just do those spitting ones, you know, because you won't let anybody go near him. Anyway, that's what we're going to do. Who's won the names?
Oh, Faye Peach Designs. Now, I haven't got her address yet. So Faye Peach Designs, because that came in on Instagram. She guessed Stanley. And then Sally Pointer, 62 and 7 months, also guessed Stanley. And then, again, this is on the Instagram, Magratage21. Don't know her name. She guessed Stanley. And then I think the only person who guessed Edward, actually, amazingly, was Michelle, 60. And she said Elliot and Edward. So she definitely gets a badge as well. So we've got... But I need you to send me your addresses. I've got, I think, Sally Pointers. But I need those people, please, to send me the addresses.
Well, congratulations to everybody who guessed some names correctly.
Anyway, enough of the twins. How's the filming of Draws Off going?
It's been really good and I've been very happy and I'm just terribly upset to be ill. And I don't know how I've got this because I've been so careful. But I think that actually it's just wear and tear and I'm very, very tired.
And I think that having a break...
Yeah, you have exactly. 2 days break. I relax a bit. I get to Dunes and I mean, you know, it's very sad being here, but it's also very familiar. So I relax a bit. Yeah. I see her. I see my aunt. I now feel terrible because I went back to my aunt's house with this cold yesterday. She's 96. Do you know what she was doing, Judith?
No.
She was making cauliflower cheese.
Gosh, was she really?
Yes. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm making cauliflower cheese for tomorrow. I said, what's in the oven now? She said, oh, I've got a shepherd's pie in there. Wow. She's 96. She's blind. Wow. She's extraordinary. Wow. And we have a good gossip. And, I said to her, what are you listening to? Because obviously she can't read. So she gets books for the blind.
Oh, yeah.
Does
she? Right,
she gets books for the blind. Yeah, yeah. Because they're free. It's free service. It's on a stick as well. So you can sort of, it's much easier to sort out if you can't see. And she said, she rolled her eyes and she went, oh, Shuggy Bane. Well, I struggled with Shuggy Bane. I mean, Shuggy Bane is set in Glasgow and it's very, very hardcore. It's so dark. And this is a 96-year-old woman.
Good for her, though.
And that's her leisure reading. Yeah, well, her daughter, my cousin Elizabeth, chooses her books. And Elizabeth's quite, she won't let her off the hook. She won't let her do any shawls and clogs. She just goes, no, I think we'll have some Booker nominees. I tell you, God. Anyway.
So Draws Off is going well. The new format's working well.
I think so, yes. I think the standard of the artwork is very high this year. And I think that's
great.
I think that they had a sort of bigger reaction to the auditions because this time people don't have to strip off. There's a professional life model every session. And there's a huge difference between a professional life model and somebody who's just got their kit off and doing it for their mates.
Have they got all their kit off almost?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's the same format. They stand or sit or they're posed behind on a podium and they're surrounded by a purple silk curtain. And then there's a kabuki drop, which is a Japanese term for dropping a curtain. And on the television, they will edit it so you don't see, there's no close-up of tits,
front bottoms.
Fanny, cock.
No, front bottom. Okay.
But occasionally, the way they've been standing where I am, curtain's dropped, I've looked around and I am eyeball to groin. I've seen a lot of cock. Over the last week or
have you?
Yes, I certainly have.
You see, I don't think I've seen that many in my life. Not
they
really.
They get a bit samey after a while, but it's quite reassuring when you go, oh, yeah, they are all a bit like that.
Gosh.
Yes, they are. Because, yes, it's they're rather sweet when they're in that sort of state, you know. They're not engorged.
No. Well, thank God for that.
I'll tell you what else is interesting about seeing people with no clothes on. All the younger women have got no pubic hair. It's only... The only pubic hair I have seen in this past week has been on a woman over 60.
Gosh, really?
Yes.
And what about but it's only a female thing, isn't it? Do the blokes shave it off?
Some blokes are waxed, particularly if their physique is extraordinary. There's one bloke who, an Asian bloke, who was so like a ballet dancer. I mean, so it's just the most extraordinary body. And he didn't have a hair on him. And I don't know whether that was natural or whether that was waxed with an inch of his life, but he was extraordinary. Oh, yeah, there's some great shapes going on. There's some lovely work going on as well. And the people are really, really nice. I mean, it's a bit like potters when you watch the pottery throwdown. There's no such thing as a horrible potter. I don't think there's people who paint tend to be really nice.
Yeah,
you know, they just are. They're just people who are in touch with that kind of thing. And they're all, you know, they bond really easily together. It's a competition, but everybody is quite, everyone's nice to each other. It's a nice job. It's just...
Nice atmosphere.
Yeah, there's a lot that we do two a day.
That is hard on you, isn't it? But I would imagine you're really loving it because it's.
I am loving it.
Your neck
I just
of the woods.
Want to
you're
be well.
I'm
passionate about it, and I paint in my dressing room. I've got some, and because of course there's an art cupboard there. Yes, and I'm just nicking stuff.
Oh God, bloody hell!
You'd love it, yeah. You know,
a stationery cupboard.
Yes,
art stuff.
Yes, at the end of next week when we finish, I'll tell you what. I'm taking a laundry bag in.
Don't blame you.
Yeah.
How lovely. So so are they doing pastels or watercolour or pastel?
Everything. There's everything going on. There's all sorts going on. There's a little bit of oil. There's a lot of chalk pastel. There's charcoal. What's really interesting, though, is when somebody wins on one day, everyone sort of goes, not does what they did the next day, but, you know, if a very colourful piece wins, next day, all of a sudden, everyone's got loads of colour. Or like one day, you know, it took a couple of days for people to realise there was coloured paper available. Well, by the end of the week, everyone was doing coloured paper. Marvellous.
Yeah.
So very, very nice. Anyway, time for Culture Corner.
Yes, Culture Corner. Yeah. So what are you up to, Culture Corner-wise?
I have just finished the Monica Alley. I thought she stretched out a little bit too long, but it is an interesting and good read, and it's dead easy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're back to the... What are you reading?
I'm loving, but you've already read it, of course. So I'm a little bit of a copycat here. The Bob Mortimer autobiography called And Away. I'm just loving it. And
it's great, isn't
he's
it?
Performing it. Oh, I mean, just, you know, the sequences where he was a bin man and, you know, the bloody dogs he had to deal with. It's just terrible, terrible jobs in a chicken packing factory. The kind of detail of the Northeast and also the kind of choices that he made in life. I mean, literally, you know, he was offered a place in Cambridge and offered a place at Leicester, and he decided just at the last minute, like, which motorway was he taking, decided not to go to Cambridge, which perhaps was a bit of a mistake. He's extraordinary and so likeable and so
I think it's a fascinating book because, as you say, it's these decisions you make in life that set you down paths that actually for him have made his career. You know, if he'd gone to Cambridge, I think he'd have been probably quite... Actually, who's unhappy at university anyway, but then there's because it's quite interesting because you know the Northeast very well, and then later on in his life he ends up in Camberwell.
Yes, exactly.
And that and a lot of his social life revolves around this pub that is in Camberwell Grove, where I used to live.
Really?
Yes. So it's so familiar. That 80s Camberwell thing is just takes me back. It's just because I was there. It was just it's mad. I've got a weird book that nobody will want to read, but I'm really enjoying it. It's it is stupidly sort of off key for anybody our age. It's something quite obscure. It's not for our age group. It's called 10,000 Apologies. It's about a band called Fat White Family. They won't mean anything to most people listening, but I know one of the band members, or I knew him when he was a child, and I'm just intrigued by this peculiar story. And they're a bit of a maverick band, and they sort of have hovered on the edge of greatness without ever quite making it.
Are they a punk band?
No, they're now. Okay. So the boy I knew when he was little is about the same age as Phoebe.
Get you.
Yeah, I know it feels like a bit of a snoop, but there we go. Telly, I'm watching the Inventing Anna on Netflix, and I am enjoying it. It's the Anna Delvey case.
Oh yeah. Okay.
You haven't got time, Judith. You've got grandchildren. You haven't got time.
No, we've got an hour in the evening, which I sort of flop. Have you been watching Peaky Blinders, a new series of that?
Yes, but I got a bit confused Sunday night. I think I was already coming down with this cold and I suddenly felt headachy and I couldn't really keep up. Do you know what I mean?
It is quite confusing. There's a lot of threads and a lot of sort of double bluffing. And,
yes.
But it, even if you just kind of...
Just watch him.
Him and the lighting and the music and the costumes. It's extraordinarily engaging and I love it. But I think if I had to paraphrase it, I might have to ask somebody clever.
Absolutely. We could easily give wrong information about what's going on with Peaky Blinders.
We could.
Tell you the other thing that that Mike and I are watching is The Holiday on Channel 5, which is a bit sort of lightweight, but kind of quite good, so, you know, light relief. A holiday that goes wrong, I think, in Greece or Croatia or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm also loving, I haven't quite finished it yet, and I'm kind of eking it out, Starstruck on BBC Three with Rose Matafeo. Are you into them?
I've just not had any time, but I will catch up one day. I mean, I'd get home quite late. I had to do homework and then I go to sleep.
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But I, you know, when I get a break, I'll catch up on everything. And I might go see some live theatre and I might go to the cinema and I might actually have a life. That would be nice.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it?
I'm going to go and see June in about an hour. That's been difficult. She's got really confused. She's gone downhill a bit more. Yeah.
She kind of just... You are, Jenny.
Oh, yeah, she does. She does, but she's not very interested. She's like a boat drifting out on a lake. She's sort of... she's untethered herself. There's nothing binding her to the, you know, us anymore. It seems like she's cut her ropes a bit.
Oh, gosh, that's such a strong
And
image.
Then she gets really confused and she thinks Eileen's pregnant. And that's her sister. And Eileen's 96, you know.
The one with the cauliflower cheese.
Yeah, cauliflower cheese Eileen. She's 96. She's not having a baby.
Unlikely to be pregnant, isn't
she? She's unlikely. I mean,
never.
If any 96-year-old could, I wouldn't put it past her, but, you know.
She sounds pretty capable.
I tell you, honestly,
oh,
Judith.
Oh, poor June, and that must be hard.
It is hard. There we go.
Get some flashes of the old June occasionally.
I'm going to go. Yeah. I'm not going to go into the home today because I'm too riddled and it's not fair on the staff, but I'll do a window wave and talk by the door.
Okay, and then you need to sort yourself out and go and get under that duvet.
I do, Judith, I do. So I might take a hot water bottle from June's up to Manchester.
Juno, that is the cleverest idea that I've ever known you have.
Just going to sling one in my suitcase.
You should. That's under the duvet, maybe a bit of Starstruck with Rose Matafeo. Absolutely. Get some vitamin C and some oranges into yourself.
I'm allergic to oranges.
Oh, I've forgotten that. You should have taken that microwave up. I don't know why you didn't take it. I told you to take a microwave up. I told you to do that.
It's the smelliness of the room.
So
I've already got a problem. I've got a problem with the shower. The shower fucking stinks. I keep asking them to bleach it out. It's got trapped air. Trapped air down its plug hole.
Is it your trapped air?
It's not hair. No, air. There's like
air lock. I said, is it your trapped air? Trapped air.
I don't go in showers, Judith. I don't. I'm a, you know,
you're
me, I'm
a bath girl.
Bath girl.
Yeah. Of course you are.
Anyway. So listen, we've got some lovely emails. You've got thousands.
So many emails. Honestly, gang, I was reading them out to Sienna yesterday between feeds. They are amazing. And from all over the world. I mean, seriously, all over the world. People in Tel Aviv, LA, Australia, saying, you know...
Hey, all places we can go visit. Hey, people that we can ring up and say, you know you like Elder and Wider. Well, guess who's here at the airport? Why don't you come pick me up?
Would you like to put us up? Yeah. Here we are.
Excellent.
So just a quick couple of emails. Oh, shit, I can't find them now.
Well, I'm just going to put a quick one in, and we don't do birthday requests, really, but there is an email on behalf of their dear friend, Mrs. Slattuck. And I can't resist the name, Mrs. Slattuck. She's going to be 60 on the 21st of March, the old bugger. And they said that a mention on the podcast of her impending big birthday may result in her temporary losing control of her bladder. And, you know, if we could achieve that, we'd be quite proud, wouldn't we, Judith? So happy birthday to her.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we will do the occasional birthday thing, but it does. We can't bog ourselves down with it because, you know, you think it's interesting, but it's not really. Do you know what I mean? Apart from Mrs.
Slattuck, don't we? We lose the thread. I mean, honestly, so many emails. And we do try and answer them, don't we? We're pretty good at that. And it's olderwiderpod@gmail.com. And I reckon I've got that right. Do send us the emails and the stuff on the Instagram because we really enjoy reading them. And but I've got a bit lost now in the notes and there's quite a few. We'll be a bit better.
I think you were inundated, Judith, to be quite honest. I mean, because I have access to that email address and it was, there were so many and they were so beautifully written and there were so many lovely messages from, you know, a huge number of people. And, you know, and it's
lovely.
I know it's nothing really to do with me, but it is. And I was really touched on your behalf.
Yeah, and I felt myself, you know, I really wanted to, and will continue to want to share things with the gang. Honestly, I get a nice picture and I think, oh, I want to tell the gang, I want to tell the gang. So it is very, very lovely to hear from you all, and thank you very much. So, right, Jenny, yes. I've got to go and put the wash on for Sienna and get my list ticked off. You've got to go and...
I've got to go and have a poo and have some more drugs.
Yeah, and then you go and see June.
Oh, I haven't had breakfast!
Oh, nice, what are you having?
Well, I could have cereal or I could have an egg.
Well, yeah. Or you could have both. Might go both. Oh, I might have a hot cross bun. I know where there's a hot cross bun in Sienna's
house. I love the smell of hot cross buns.
Do you eat them? Because I know you're very, you don't eat much sugar, do you?
No, but I do. I adore the smell of them. I will have the odd hot cross bun. I don't have them with butter. I have them with cream cheese. I do like a hot cross bun. And the other smell I love, which I can't eat myself, is sometimes Jeff will fry up some tomatoes.
Ooh,
and I'll be upstairs. And that grilled or fried tomatoes on toast. And you know when they sort of caramelise a bit?
Ooh,
and
I
the
do.
Scent goes wafting up and there's nothing like it.
That's a
gorgeous.
Shame you can't do that. Yeah, it's a bit you can't have them, isn't it?
I can have
anyway,
other things.
Anyway, going to get yourself better.
Yes.
Let me know how you're doing. And Daisy, thank you very, 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 very much for everything. And Daisy, thank you for those lovely daffodils you sent. They are
Did she send daffodils?
Beautiful.
Shit.
Loads
Judith,
daffodils.
I've sent a card. I made a card.
It's fine. It's fine.
Well,
just
check out the post, and if you recognise my handwriting,
I will.
I handmade a card because I went into Lytham when I got
beautiful.
Here, and there was no cards for twins. I went into loads of shops. I kept saying, "There's no cards for twins. What about people who have twins?"
Well, you've had your bloody hell. Well, in terms of how busy you've been, that's sweet of you even to try. But yeah,
it's
it was
a bit shit.
Nice
but no, I made an effort, and I actually thought, oh, this is quite good. I hope Sienna and James really like this. And I hope Stanley and Edward really like it.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Hope they keep it. I hope they put it in their book. You know, have you got one of those books? You've got a baby book, our first
give us
days.
A break. Give us a bleeding break. I don't know.
Oh, I'm so pleased. I thought you'd be filling that all in already.
Oh,
birth dates
God.
And middle names. They have got middle names, though, haven't they?
Yes, one is Michael after the two grandfathers, and one is Buick, I think.
Oh, I like Buick.
Something to do with James's family, but yes.
Oh, I really like that. Buick's great.
Yeah.
I told Phoebe that you know Stanley after your dad, and I said, well, there's always Derek, because you know my dad was called Derek. God,
yeah, there might be limits.
Limits. Absolutely. Anyway, lots and lots
and
love.
To you.
You know,
and
look after yourself as well because this is. Tiring,
it's a busy time. It's a busy time. I know. Yeah. And lots of huge thanks to the gang again for all the lovely messages. And look after yourselves. And thanks, Daisy. And go on, get yourself better.
I will. And I'll speak to you next week, both of you. Loads and loads of love. And congratulations to Daisy as well, who's at the Comedy Awards with the award winning, the other podcast that she does that we don't really mention, but it has done. It's scored highly at the Comedy Awards. I can't remember its name.
Annoyed.
Shag Married Annoyed. We're just very, very jealous. But Daisy does that, she's a winner.
Yeah.
We knew that anyway because she's always a winner to us. All right, everybody. She's gone off. She's pressing a button. There she goes.
Well done.
All right then, Doug. Take care, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Lots of love. Bye-bye.